If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Gamescast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor release date delayed 6 weeks.
All the time you need. All the time you need.
We're in a weird place though with video games where it's like, you know, I'm excited. Of course, take your time to get the game right. But also, I'm excited just
because. But get your shit together, you lazy developers.
What the fuck, yeah.
Give other games some room, you know? But
yeah.
Problem is, giving this game room just means we're giving some other game less room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just the constant.
Get dangerously close to Breath of the Wild. Or not, the sequel.
Exactly.
To Breath
Tears
of the Wild.
Of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom, everybody. Joining us as well today, we have the Big Daddy, Greg Miller.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. What are you doing? What you playing over there?
I'm remote playing my PlayStation 5 at home, making sure I download the new Ghostbuster Spirits Unleashed update so it's ready to go when I get there tonight.
That is such a Greg Miller sentence.
They've added in the real Ghostbusters gear. They get to go around, so
so we've been watching the fake Ghostbusters?
New map and stuff. No, remember the cartoon? Filmation had this the Ghostbusters IP beforehand. That's why if you went back and looked at Ghostbusters 84 when they did it, they had a whole bunch of different names. They had to say, like, Ghost Chasers because they weren't sure they didn't get it. And then, of course, it tested so well as Ghostbusters that we have to get it, so they got it. But when that happened, Filmation was still very much like, you know, wait, we own Ghostbusters, so we're going to make money on it. So they made a cartoon called Ghostbusters to ride off the success of Ghostbusters. This monkey and a bunch of Ghostbusting guys. They weren't even
monkey. Was a Ghostbuster.
Yeah. And so then to make a Ghostbusters, like from the movie, you know, Peter Venkman kind of shit, they did the real Ghostbusters.
Pedro Venkman?
Well, sure. Yeah. So I'm sure somebody said him that way.
I think I had that VHS, actually.
The real Ghostbusters?
The real one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And rounding out the group, we have Andy Cortez. Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You remember like that proton pack and stuff?
The studio is so big that it feels like they're having a very separate conversation. Like, I can barely hear anything of what Greg Miller's talking about.
I love that, like, normally, Greg, I would have cut you off earlier, right?
But you know I was almost done. I was doing speed round for you.
That was my thing. You were doing the speed round. But, give a mouse a cookie. How long would you have went? Could you have went? I could see you giving Andy a full episode by episode breakdown, in review.
Do you want me to get into Extreme Ghostbusters, or did you want
I
me
do
to keep
not,
it to real
everybody.
Ghostbusters?
Of course, this is
what about the
comics
that then pull it all together?
Gamescast, IDW, baby. It's the world. Of course, you can get the show on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Gamescast, and we will be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free and watch live as it's being recorded, just like our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining, is doing right now.
Wow.
I saw them in the chat. They're there. Thank you for making this all happen.
My hands smell like tacos.
At least that's where the sentence ended. That's where it ended. I did not, you know what I mean? Wasn't sure where we were going to end. We ended positively.
I love it. I love it so much. They were brought to you by Grammarly.
It's like soap and taco.
Tell you.
Yeah, I smell the taco. Wow. And the soap, for that matter.
Wow.
You mostly smell a lot of lemon. Because it's a lot of me pouring lemon on the...
Every bite.
Taquitos al pastor y asada.
That's... hold on.
Con cebolla y...
Oh, now I'm lost.
Y...
said too many words.
It was pork and steak, right?
he nailed it.
Now, I want to start this one a little bit differently than we normally do. Normally, we talk about what we've been playing, then we get to the topic of the show. I want to start with the topic of the show, if you gentlemen will allow me to do that.
Stop. No, that's copyright. PS, I love you. Take that shit off.
Oh, wow.
That's PS, I love you.
I mean, you guys said it. I had to do
you
it.
You said it.
It's legally binding.
That's fair enough.
That's how it works.
It's actually voice commanded. Bear didn't do anything.
So we are 1 month into 2023. This is the last day of January as of recording, right? We have seen E3 come and go, come again, go again, come back. I don't even know where we're at with the coming and going at this point. Mm. We've seen Jeff Keighley meanwhile.
We're on like the third reboot, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Keighley doing the damn thing for a decade now, building out the Game Awards, this big industry event at the end of each year. At this point, would you guys say the Game Awards or the summertime is like a bigger deal?
Wow. You mean summertime being like E3 and Summer Game Fest and all the summertime is a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I think Game Awards is bigger than Summer Game Fest in terms of being a big deal.
I think Game Awards is bigger in the, like, normal household type of thing. I think because that's when a lot of headlines are made. Like the kid talking about Bill Clinton. Like, that's when big moments like that happen. But I think to gamers, we think of summer as new game releases and new game announcements.
Well, but what do you think the mainstream is covering? I mean, they cover Game Awards. I'm not trying to stake away from that, but they're covering E3 in that time as well. Like,
are they still, though?
They're covering Vin Diesel on the Game Awards, all right?
Yeah, they are. That's true. Tekken.
I guess my thing is, what was the last E3 worth covering? Because there wasn't an E3 last year.
True. Keanu Reeves, 2020.
It's hard for me to imagine that.
2019.
It's hard for me to imagine that by the time we get to this next E3, it's going to be that, right? Like, without having PlayStation, Nintendo, Xbox, I'm probably getting ahead. What is there? You're talking about third parties. To your question, Tim, I would say I'd say Game Awards is the biggest individual gaming event outside of a PlayStation showcase or an Xbox showcase.
Yeah, I agree.
And those can happen any point of the year, right? Like, Xbox usually sticks to the summer, but PlayStation has been fall.
Yeah.
So I might argue toward the Game Awards side.
That's where I'm at, too. So, Keeley doing the Game Awards, then, of course, Summer Game Fest, and, you know, personally killed E3 and, like, did all that stuff. But where are we at now? What do we want from this? Do we think that this year is going to be good? Do you think that E3 will exist next year? The reason we're talking about this right now is in the last day, it was officially announced that Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox will not be at E3. Does that matter, though?
No.
Let's start there, Eddie. Does that matter?
No, I mean, they haven't really been a part of it anyway, except, like, Nintendo's
the
only one.
But the summer's such a big deal that they're all doing their things there anyway, because it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's E3 is a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
E3 is a season.
You smell that?
It smells like tacos and lemon.
Tacos and soap.
And soap.
Were like you about to say E3 is a people?
E3 is a people, yeah. It's not a place, it's a people, right? And it does remind me of, like, this is the windowed area of maybe 2 months where all the game publishers and developers think that this is probably the best time to release or talk about what they're working on and make buzz and try to stand out of the crowd.
Man. You're making a pretty compelling case that, yeah, summer's a bigger deal than Game Awards because all the publishers are there doing stuff. I agree with you.
Get them, though, bless.
When you say all, right, are you just talking about Xbox or are you including PlayStation, Nintendo in there, too?
Because PlayStation had a summer thing.
It was a nice little state of play. The state of plays happen all year. There's also state of play.
But there's also,
December.
But if there's one happening during the summer.
But it's not the big one, though. The big one has been more. I mean, I guess
there wasn't. When's the last big one?
If you want
to
shut your hole. The last
big one was in September of 2021, and when we're talking about Nintendo, looking through the archive of Nintendo Directs, right, like we had one we had the movie direct in November, we had I guess another movie direct in what was the 10th month of the year, is that October?
Yeah,
they had one in October.
Nailed it.
We had a regular
King Halloween over
Google here. It real quick. Yeah, King Halloween.
So we had a regular Nintendo Direct in September. There was a Splatoon 3 Direct before that. And then in June, the month where Nintendo would usually do a bigger Direct, there was a Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase.
And that was boo-boo.
Yeah, the ones that we usually look down upon.
Sure.
So even Nintendo's, they're starting to avoid the summer. I don't think there's a promise this summer that we're going to get something from Nintendo.
I mean, then this, I don't even think that's that rare. Like, even thinking back to 2020, I remember all eyes were like, all right, cool, Animal Crossing's out. What's next for Nintendo? And then they just didn't do shit, right? So it's like, that's kind of weird.
But I don't know. I think that these past couple of years have still just... We are still in that kind of post-COVID getting used to the newer timeline and newer sort of rhythm of game development that I think that nothing... The past 3 years feel like that's how it's been the past, like, 20 years or whatever. I don't think it's still indicative of, like, what the summer actually means to game developers releasing stuff. I just think the past couple of years have been weird as shit and some people have nothing to show because... of, you know, this pandemic. It's a tragedy.
It sucks.
So with that, though, thinking about... So I would say that there's now the three options when it comes to the summer placement of game showcases. You either go to E3, you go to Summer Game Fest, or you just do your own thing, right?
I agree with that, yeah.
So we know that this year, all three of those things are going to happen in some way, shape, or form. Do we think... that Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo will do their own thing in the summer.
Xbox for sure. Granted, they've said that. Phil Spencer has confirmed at IGN we're going to do something timed around E3, not that it'll be at E3. Nintendo's always a wild card, and I think honestly so is PlayStation. where PlayStation's launching a whole new platform in less than a month, and there still hasn't been a dedicated showcase or state of play or anything for it. And will that happen? Will we get that announced next week to get us somewhere to be prepped for VR 2? Who knows? And I think then that just dominoes out. You know, on top of the hangover from COVID, you're dealing with the fact that it's such a shifting sands. What game is ready when? When can you talk about it? Do you need to talk about everything all at once anymore? That's such a convoluted question for so many of these publishers that I think that also has changed the way we look at the Summer and Game Awards, for that matter. Anytime you can announce anything, you know, are we going to get a PlayStation showcase that is, hey, let's talk about phase two of PlayStation 5 games, right? We made a big deal about that on PS I Love You based on comments you had made, Tim, right? Of like the God of War Ragnarok was the end of phase one PS5. And sure, it'd be awesome too, and get a really deep dive on Spider-Man 2, another look at Wolverine, Ghost 2.
Whatever. Reveal of Bloodborne.
Bloodborne, yeah, for sure. What's Bluepoint working on, yada yada. I could see that happening, but I can also totally see it being like, all right, cool, those games aren't ready. So instead, we're going to do a state of play, and it's all about Spider-Man 2, and on the front, there's a couple, you know, third-party things we're putting in there. We have some other kind of bookend, maybe an indie you put in there as well, and that just becomes a state of play, rather than the big showcase, which we all love, which is get fucking hype. We're bringing 45 minutes, an hour and a half of pure fucking awesome shit.
Unrivaled levels of announcements, right? Like, looking at the last PlayStation showcase, the last two, they've been like insane with the amount of first party titles announced and shown off. So there's lofty expectations for that.
Exactly.
Quick aside, real quick, when we played Marvel and Midnight Suns today.
Yeah.
A sponsored stream. I had never seen Midnight Suns before, and when Yuri Lowenthal pops up as Spider-Man, I'm just like, God, I miss Spider-Man. Can't wait for the new Spider-Man. That's all I gotta say. Yeah. Keep on talking. It's a great show.
Did you enjoy talking to Peter Parker and stuff, walking around your old Abby?
You romance him?
Oh, I don't think we did that. No, I don't think we got that far.
Oh.
No,
we're just still like in the, up when he's fighting Venom.
We're still in the friends phase, right? Like, we gotta like move there slowly.
Talk more.
Wine, romance, dying,
yeah. Apologies.
The whole situation. Mm-hmm. So stick it on PlayStation. They're a very, very not reputable source at this table, I think, actually, on a show called Kind of Funny Games Daily, confirmed that PlayStation was going to return to the Shrine Auditorium in front of 7,000 people to do a showcase and do it big. Do you think that there's any chance that happens, Greg?
Who said this?
Me. I'm an idiot.
I thought I missed a Jeff Grubb episode.
Yeah,
or something.
No.
Like, what?
This is just, we were talking about PlayStation and what they're going to do during the summertime this year. And I was saying that, like, if they ever were to return to an in-person, like, big event, this potentially would be the year, like, with the debut of this new phase of whatever PlayStation 5 is doing. What do you think?
I mean, never say never. I don't see them doing that. I think PlayStation is very much comfortable with what they've become, what their position is in the industry, and what they can and or what they should and shouldn't put into it. I think you go to the Shrine Auditorium and it just gets weird of like, all right, well, what does that look like? You know, who is hosting that? That's not Jim Ryan, right? That's a Jack Trenton thing back in the day. I could see him doing and coming out and talking. I could see back in the day, Shu coming out and doing that. Adam Boyes, Gio Corsi. But now PlayStation just isn't that. And I think they're happy with the results of being the woman's disconnected voice during a state of play, right? The showcase that is just a digital showcase that is trailer after trailer after trailer with no netting or stuff between it. Maybe Herman, but even Herman, I think more of as a talking head, not a host coming out and talking about it. I would love that, obviously, but I think that would be such a 180 from what they've established so far.
I'm with Tim only because I think
that it's going to happen, or you want it to happen?
I see something more in that vein because I think the rendering costs for having these real people in these videos getting rendered in real time, you know,
those 3D models, all the
CG is really, really tough to do.
It's Unreal 5.
You bringing up Herman, I think, is a great point. I think I don't see Jim Ryan as the dude to do that. I do see
for sure
Herman and people like Shu and those sort of personalities to be the ones running it, or maybe hiring. Why not just have a non-disembodied woman up there or man up there? Like, it doesn't have to be a voice. It could be any presentation. E3 is a place. It's not a people. You know.
Yeah. That's not what PlayStation has been doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. They haven't done that in a while, and I think they haven't laid the groundwork. And I think I would love to see the return to it. I fucking remember those days of, you know, even that Gamescom.
Assuming The Last of Us Church again, you know?
Well, I think that was the last one. That was the last one, and that's the argument I bring up for, I think, why they wouldn't do that, is the fact that with the last couple of PlayStation showcases, they have been successes, right? Like, when you go and you go back to the latest one where it was Spider-Man and Wolverine back-to-back, and also God of War Ragnarok, and also you go to the one before that, and Spider-Man Miles Morales, and all these things. Those were so clean with no errors and barely people complaining online versus you go to the Last of Us Church one and there's people complaining about the weird transition. All right, well, what's going on with this church? What's up with the guy with the flute? Like all this stuff around the production that cost them so much money, right? And took them so much effort. And honestly, like from a pure production standpoint, I would say that stuff was dope as hell. But I don't think that stuff translates as well to the audience that are watching on these streaming platforms, right? And I think that might be why it works for Xbox, is Xbox is very traditional. It has been like, hey, man, we just got a stage.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I'm Michael Cera. Hey, man, we got a stage with like a bunch of monitors for some reason, and here's the presentation. It's more straightforward.
My counterpoint to that is I think that PlayStation, if they do a showcase in the June timeframe, it will be a live in-person thing, or else it isn't going to happen in that timeframe, and it'll just be its own thing in September or in March or whatever. But like to have that E3 Summer Game Fest time, I think that they would commit and be there. And I think the difference is that year was the last time we had an in-person event. It was 2019, right? So that was pre-COVID. Obviously, a lot of what they've been doing is because of the state of the world. But also, when you look at those games, it was a very different year for them in terms of their announcements. And that was like, hey, we have the last final bits of the PS4 era titles. We've already known. There wasn't major announcements during that E3. It was more just like, let's look at Last of Us 2, something we're all looking forward to. Let's look at Ghost. Let's look at, I think, Spider-Man was that? No, it couldn't have been Spider-Man.
Days Gone
was the other one. But it's like, we all known quantities, right? And I think that their crazy production value was to try to have fun with that, with the lack of an announcement. But I think if they have a bunch of announcements, it does make sense for them to go back to how they did it in 2018 when we got like so much cool stuff, or even just like the debut of God of War and all that stuff was so incredibly memorable. And I feel like they can pull that off again without the internet. Well, the internet's going to complain, but without the type of complaints you're talking about.
Yeah. I think my thing also is June still a special time for PlayStation? Do they look at June and be with the idea that June is important? Of course, they had the State of Play that I would say was the best State of Play thus far, with the one that happened, I want to say in May, where it was Street Fighter and Resident Evil 4 and all that stuff. But is that still the move? When it is, I think for a lot of big publishers now, the move has been, let's wait until we have something to say. Why wait until a month hits and then all say all these things at the same time? Whereas as PlayStation, you know, we've been looking toward the fall for our showcases. We can look at random points of the calendar to do these state of plays. What if instead of doing June, we did do a April or March for a PlayStation showcase? Like, what is stopping us, especially when we're coming off of God of War Ragnarok? After February, you're going to be coming off of PlayStation VR 2 and Horizon Call of the Mountain. I think you do have a bit of a gap there where you can create a message and hopefully not get in the way of something like Final Fantasy 16, which is coming out in June, right? And that is going to be a PlayStation exclusive title, let alone Street Fighter 6, I believe, coming out that month as well, which is PlayStation marketed, right? Like, do you want to then step over that in the way that you might not want to step over a God of War Ragnarok? I know that's different because it's PlayStation Studios, but you kind of get where I'm coming from with it.
Who has a Jedi Fallen Order or Jedi Survivor marketing?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, is it PlayStation or Xbox?
I'm not sure. I don't remember who we've seen attached to it.
Yeah, interesting time.
I don't know if they've done anything
enough
Platinum to really more. Seen it outside of them just dropping trailers. So
yeah.
I imagine we'll see once we get closer to it.
What about Nintendo?
You tell us, Tim. You're the obsessed Nintendo kid.
I mean, we're so...
Where the fuck is Advance Wars?
I mean, that's an excellent
I heard
question.
A rumor yesterday that we were getting close. Something got updated on the eShop and we're starting to freak out.
Yeah, so, and that makes sense. I imagine that we will get that by March,
okay,
but it's also who the hell knows whether super weird. But yeah, we PlayStation and Nintendo are in a very interesting place right now where they just haven't updated us on what's coming in a long time. And Nintendo specifically, we know they have Zelda coming up, so they almost don't need to talk about anything else because it's like that is the big thing. But we're gonna have to see that really, really shown off. But that's, I think, an issue with this idea of that summer placement for Nintendo, where Tears of the Kingdom is before that. So then do they come out in June and in a post Zelda world? Like, we need a Zelda Direct. We need like
right.
Like, we've known so little about that game thus far. It's like, like 2.5 trailers or something. Like, I feel like we're gonna need to get something, but I imagine that might be just a Zelda Direct. It won't be.
We haven't had announcing other stuff. Yeah, we haven't had the gameplay Direct. We haven't had the one where the dev is sitting down talking around about new updated mechanics and things like that. I think the thing I'm most wondering about is like post Zelda. Tim, if you like gun your head right now, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, you are like
two of them.
This is like you got to be right. There's three. There's three.
No, my gun is to Blessing's head to put a gun to your head.
Oh, okay. What do you think is like the next big IP announcement, game release, title? Like, is it Metroid Prime 4?
I mean, no. The answer is Mario. What Mario? I don't know. But it's been so long since we've gotten a 2D or 3D Mario. We did get Bowser's Fury, which was incredible, but clearly a smaller title that might be them experimenting with a different style of things, or that might be like, hey, this was an experiment we were doing, and this was the end result of that product. But I think when you are looking at the known quantities of Nintendo at this point, I think the surefire bet is we will hear about the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC within the next month. So that I think that they're going to push as like big, like expansion pass type things for them they're going to treat like almost like a core game.
Yeah.
Right. And they're going to market it, probably get its own Direct and things like that.
Its own like singular, this is the only the Pokemon Direct or
Pokemon Presents or whatever they call it. Yeah. And like, we'll get updates on Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon this. And
we're never going to hear about Pokemon Sleep ever again. Like, and the Brush Your Teeth one.
Well, that's already out.
Oh, did I miss it?
Yeah.
Hold
on. I got to download that.
Yeah. Janet uses it.
Pokemon 401k and all that.
Exactly. We're gonna get a whole bunch of Pokemon Unite updates, like all that type of stuff. So I think a Pokemon
Pokétex,
Pokemon Direct Presents, whatever is coming very soon, and then there's a Zelda one at some point as well. With the Mario movie coming out in April, Mario's an interesting guy, guys.
This motherfucker is interesting.
This Italian guy.
Just a normal plumber one day.
Out there, you know? But like, I don't think that a movie tie-in needs to be as one-to-one direct movie tie-in as they were back in the day, where it's like the game feels more like marketing of the movie than it does being a game. A Mario movie tie-in could come out in the fall that actually isn't even a tie-in to the movie directly, but it's fucking Mario, you know? And I feel like the Mario movie itself is essentially going to be marketing for the next Mario game inherently, right? And I do think we're going to get a new Mario game this year. Like, I think it'll be announced and released this year, and if not, multiple. I also would not be surprised if they go super hard, 3D Mario and 2D Mario both coming out.
God, I would love it. So what is the fall Nintendo game this year? Is it Pikmin 4? Is that going to be the main one?
There you go, Laker's head.
Yeah, Pikmin 4. I mean, I'm jury's out on if it comes out this year or not. Like, that's just the type of game that like they keep saying it exists, so it must exist. But like, I don't know, what the hell is it?
God, I have a question that like I don't know if right now is the right time to pose it, but
just
I kind of want
it. Just pose away. I'm going to get a Coke.
What do you think comes first?
Uh-oh. Don't do it.
Shit.
Greg on Coke.
Coca-Cola, if you're watching.
What do you think?
I did that. I'm drinking Coke right now. He want to get a Coke. Sponsor me.
What do you think comes first? Metroid Prime 4 or Splatoon 4?
Metroid Prime 4.
Really? Because I feel like, even though that sounds like a ridiculous fucking question, I still feel like Splatoon 4 has a better chance of coming out before Metroid Prime 4.
I think we get 5 Kirby games before we get, before we get Metroid Prime 4.
5 Kirby games, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Splatoon 4, I don't think we get on
that has to be next gen at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because next gen Switch. Like, Splatoon 2 was 2017, and then it took 5 years for them to do Splatoon 3, so.
You think Metroid Prime 4 is going to come out in 5 years?
Yeah.
I fucking hope so.
I do. It is, you know, thinking about Metroid Prime 4.
You know, for
4,
the lulz, I hope it doesn't.
I mean, the thing is, like, I know
I hope
that
we're taking Ben to see the goth, whatever, the Brave and the Bold, and it's not
Ben to get his driver's license.
Like, I know this is, like, really tired at this point to even bring up, but I do still believe that we are going to get the Twilight Princess and Wind Waker ports Switch, and I also think we're going to get Metroid Prime remake trilogy, some form of that. And like the rumors have changed over time on what that looks like. Before it was just, hey, it's the trilogy being ported. Then it turned into the first one's being remade. And then it was like, the first one's being like remastered more than remade, all that stuff. So I think those all exist.
Only and playable with like the add-on, like GameCube controller they're gonna sell separately that plugs into whatever the fuck. God damn it, I hate them, dude. I hate them so much, everybody.
But yeah, I feel like at least some of those products are finished, and Nintendo's just waiting for the time. And they've done that before with games, and they'll do it again. And I think they're going to here, and I think it's they are trying to line that up better to Metroid Prime 4. And obviously that game's had such a horrible development cycle for the last 10 years, whatever, however you want to shake it. But even just looking at retro themselves, we haven't had a retro game since Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, bless.
Damn. That was a console ago.
13, I think. Maybe 14.
That's 10 years.
2013, I believe.
And that's just
has
so
anybody checked up on the studio? Like maybe it's like maybe the doors are locked and people are in there and I mean, they can't get home.
Oh my god, there was a carbon monoxide leak.
Oh no.
There
this is taking so long.
The game's been done for 6 years.
There were the rumors of the Star Fox Grand Prix stuff that they may or may not have been working on, all of that. And then you know, Metroid Prime off on all that stuff, and now they're on. So it's like I feel like they've been working on that game, and I have faith that that game comes out by 2025.
Okay, I believe that.
How many new Kirby and Yoshi games do we get before that game comes out? Like, well, just random fucking here, Yoshi's Neighborhood, or what? I don't know. What
the Yoshi's fuck, yeah. Like, you fucking
know,
Neighborhood.
Like, this little fucking.
Dude, if they was a town builder in Yoshi Land or whatever, fuck, I mean.
They'll get there eventually. They made two Kirby fighting games.
But yeah. But Yoshi would have to be like the son of a divorced family and broken home.
No,
right?
No, I like swimming. Okay. If it was an exploratory game about Yoshi's sexuality, yeah, a walking sim where Yoshi's really discovering himself,
finding the past about his mother, and
he's wearing all these indie band rock things, dyes his hair.
Yeah, you know, there actually isn't that many Yoshi games. I think it just felt like there were because remember, the Wii U happened. Right? And then Nintendo was like, oh shit, no one played these games. Let's re-release all of them. So it's like a lot of games that feel like we've seen a million times is just because we've actually seen them for the last 10 years. Then it's just been the same game. We haven't had a Yoshi game in a while. That's not a big title, you know, but I could see a new Yoshi next year. Kirby, we're going to have to wait a while. We'll get some, I mean, we're getting Kirby like next week, right? I think Return to Dreamland.
Yeah, that's coming sometime soon, very soon. My question is there any reason for Nintendo to do any type of showcase or direct in June when they're not appearing at E3? I feel like that's the only thing that's been connecting them to doing any sort of big thing in June. And like we saw in last June, right? Like there was no E3. Nintendo did the mini partner showcase and it was a small, low-key thing. With them not doing E3, why would they do a showcase or a direct?
I don't think they're going to.
When do you think the next Nintendo thing we see is?
Well, like I said, I think we see Pokemon very soon. I think we see Zelda not too far after that. We're running out of time. We're going to have to at some point. And I don't know. I feel like maybe August? Because Nintendo does have titles coming out. They're just not the ones. Like they're not
modern. Yeah, they're not the blockbuster or big IP. And That's what I'm kind of worried about. Like we have the knowns in mind. We don't really have the unknown stuff. Like, what is the forecast looking like?
Yeah.
I mean, that depresses me, dude.
There's just so many teams that we don't even know what they're working on.
Yeah.
What is the Mario Kart team working on, Greg?
I don't know. What? I hope Mario Kart.
What could they be? Because their last game was ARMS. And that was many years ago at this point. And
some people say that own the world, like I said it would.
Yeah. Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I predicted ARMS would, like, be.
I was looking forward to ARMS.
I thought that was going to be, like, the big one.
You know what came out?
I know, it did come out. And I tried playing it three times, and I was like, "No, I'm good."
This shit sucks.
I thought this is gonna be Wii boxing, and this isn't as fun as Wii boxing. I could see, because you're talking about a Pokemon Presents happening in the coming weeks, right? Which I think makes a lot of sense. I could also see a direct happening, maybe a few weeks later, or maybe sometime in February, because Nintendo does like February.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look in the past, right? It's not every single year, but a lot of years they do have something to kick off.
It's either January or February. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not counting their usual like indie world thing they do at GDC. Just okay. Make
sure. No, strictly a Nintendo Direct, like a real Nintendo Direct, not a mini partner showcase, not any of those other things.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since we had. I mean, the last one was September.
September 13th.
And what happened to that one?
All the farm games.
Yeah. So we're really due for like a big Nintendo update. But I also am not convinced we're going to get it anytime soon because we already know Zelda's coming out. And it's like, there is also the Switch Pro, Switch 2, whatever the hell. Like, at some point, we're going to hear about that. And I don't think we're that far away from getting to that conversation.
Sure.
So if it's summertime, right? Going back to the big topic at hand here. Summer Game Fest, E3, everyone doing their own showcases. Greg, what do you predict actually goes down this summer?
SGF will be back. I think that's where you'll see the main cooperation between the big three. I think you'll see titles represented there. I'm talking more like in an E3 sense where Jeff will do his showcase. And I think that's where you'll see an update on, I'm saying a PlayStation game, an Xbox game, a Nintendo game.
Oh, I think you mean the big three like Jack and Daxter, Sly Cooper,
Attack of the Power Junior. you
see them cherry pick titles out that way that they want to talk about later on their own showcases, that maybe they introduced at their own showcases, something like that. And then, of course, a number of third parties there. I think E3 without the big three continues and exists and is this live event that is a hodgepodge of stuff, but it is, you know, for all intents and purposes, a scaled-down version of the E3 we were already going to, where, yeah, okay, there's no PlayStation booth, there's no Xbox booth, there's no Nintendo booth, but there's a Konami booth, and there's an Embracer Group booth, and there's a, you know, the list goes on, Atlas. There are things there for people to go and have activations on. I don't think there's that much draw in terms of what the press is getting out of it. They'll be there, and they'll cover it, but I think, as usual, it'll be like, these are more of the mid-tier games that people are excited for, but they're not your Last of Us Part 3 or whatever, factions like that. And I think you see the major publishers we're talking about, but then also Guerrilla Collectives and Wholesome Games and probably Gearboxes do their own presentations and showcases. Obviously, a Gearbox one and Wholesome Games, those would be either at SGF as well or over here. But I don't think it looks that much different from your couch at home. When you're opening up your computer to find out what's going on E3, when you're watching a reaction stream or a TikTok from us, I just think things are more, I don't even want to say spread out because they've been so spread out for the past few years.
Yeah, you know, it's looking at in the past few years and even going back further, like E3 we talk about as the press conferences and the show itself, but like really the press conferences aren't actually E3, they're just surrounding it. Now, especially that everyone is doing their own thing, if they're even doing anything at all. And then we have Summer Game Fest that actually has a showcase, the kickoff event. I forget whatever they call it, but they have a stage show, right? And even if there's no stage, like they have a place that they're showcasing a whole bunch of games. E3 has never had that, does not have that now. Now them being owned by ReedPop, it seems like E3 is even being more than ever marketed as a get the public to hang out together, community-focused type stuff. Get your hands on some games. But yeah, it's not going to be the biggest stuff.
Sure. And then this is what I was talking about on Games Daily. Just like E3 always was. E3 always was, you walk the show floor and it's not, you're playing something PlayStation just announced on their stage, usually. I mean, there's rare exceptions. But for the most part, you're... Naughty Dog game they debuted is going to be a behind closed doors demo that you want to go to, you know, Cyberpunk behind closed doors demo. Like these things you have to book a slot for, you have to go through that are often media only. So I really don't, I think again, the footprint's going to be smaller. I'm guessing for E3 this year. But I don't think it's that much crazy at a glance. You look at it as like, this is unrecognizable. I think it'll still be like that.
Yeah. And with E3, the last couple of years getting smaller and smaller, like every time we went there, it really, like, it went from being, like, some of the years being, like, this insane, every booth is, like, wild, towering over you, like, the production value through the roof. And then as PlayStation backed out and as the big guys started backing out, then it just kind of got awkward and empty. And it's, like, I feel like this year it's going to be as awkward and empty as ever, but just with questionably more people there.
Yeah.
It's so weird to think about how much smaller it has gotten when I think about the first year I attended in 2017 when I joined Kinda Funny, and then every thumbnail that you saw around the internet was the Xbox booth and the mm-hmm. PlayStation yeah, booth yeah, facing yeah, each yeah, other, yeah, right? Yeah. You see that image so much over the internet whenever you just Google search E3, you're always going to see that image. And that was the last time you saw that image. Like, it's just gotten progressively smaller and smaller. And I think more concentrated, not really, they had to make some adjustments, right? Like, big people are dropping out. We have to kind of reinvent what this whole thing is. But I think you're right. I think more and more E3 is going to become a summer PAX, and we may not even see an official E3 stream. I think it'll be more what you were mentioning, the PC Gamer stream, the Wholesome Gaming stream, the...
Guerrilla Collective.
Yeah, Guerrilla Collective, all these different smaller... you know, either publishers or group or gaming groups or whatever coming together to kind of make their own presentations. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, we saw a complete removal of an official live E3 show in the future.
Yeah, Greg, I mean, you hosted what I would say is the first of its kind E3 show. Like, E3 would always have live components with, like, YouTube partnerships and things like that. But, like, you hosted the multi-day event where it was like they treated it as if they were trying to own the conversation.
Yeah.
Do you think that that worked? Do you think that they will do that again, or is that just totally over?
Great question.
It worked because you were so good at it, bro.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And Michael Hyam?
No, he actually dragged it down.
They canceled it because of him.
I believe him. It's a loaded question that I'm probably biased on, right? Where did it work? I mean, yeah, we had an audience that watched along. I don't think it was revolutionary. I don't think it was the definitive source of places to go, because I don't think that exists. I think that even E3 trying to get in the game where they are now, to host a stage show and a production, the problem there is that there's the kind of funny audience that wants to go watch us react together. There is the Easy Allies audience that wants to go watch them react together. There's the IGN audience that wants to come out of something and watch Damon and McCaffrey talk about it. Like, you have your chosen personalities of what you want and the content you want. And I don't know how many people are unaffiliated that are just like down for a new thing. That's the problem, is like, I feel like E3, both in terms of the thing I hosted, in terms of what they're talking about now, trying to be like a summer PAX and all this stuff, I feel like it's just a step behind everywhere they need to be. I don't think they're cutting edge on anything they're trying to do. I think the original pitch we, you know, heard for that E3, the digital one that we were doing, right, that was supposed to have a live component for a while, remember? That was like, register and you can do this and do that and you'll have this crossover. You have that. That actually, you know, none of it came together. None of it actually happened. Your digital demos or anything like that. That was a cool idea that was different. That did sound like, okay, cool, this could be something that was special in terms of you book a Discord thing and you get an invite and you can go sit down and watch a presentation from a developer. So,
remember when we created like E3 online personas?
Yeah, exactly.
What happened with that?
Nothing, because it was like it all had the best intentions, but I think they were a step behind it and they couldn't pull it off in the way they wanted.
I feel
to.
Like my persona is still out there, like just kind of like lost.
This is hungry, like in the open, getting its information leaked. Yeah. There was a step behind everything. So, like, it accomplished what it was set off to do, which was like create a show to watch and have a whole bunch of very talented people work on it and create it. But I don't think it became the definitive place, because again, what is the definitive place? It's exclusives. It's having something no one else has. And so when it is that, it was just a different place to watch a before or after stream talking about Gearbox or what Xbox or Wholesome, whatever the hell we were reacting to, right? Like, that's all well and good, but I think you're already entrenched in so many different environments that that conversation is already so shattered. And that's the thing about what Jeff does that's so smart, is that Jeff makes his own show that is like, everybody come here and watch this thing and then go watch your personalities, right? And I think that this E3, the way they've pitched it, and we don't know a lot about it, right? We just know what we've read on Games Industry, that business, stuff like that. I'm not getting the vibe they're doing. We're pulling together the E3 show. We're pulling together a hour and a half long E3 show. That's the show that you come and watch with your friend. And then, like, and I don't know if that's what it needs to be. And that's where it's so weird of like, the identity of E3 has been in question for so long that even now they're like, oh man, none of the big three are going to be there. And it's like, well, was that what you were envisioning this E3 to be? Well, what is this E3? And to the point that, like, cool, now it's the summer of PAX. Do people care? Like, and I know that people care and I mean, you're different parts of the country and yada, 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 but I just feel like, cool, none of the big three are there. It's just going to be these mid-tier games you go see. And again, I'm not knocking those games, but like, is that worth it going? My thoughts is that I think they go through and they do E3 this year, and I do not think there's an E3 next year. In terms of doing another live event. Like, again, like, as long as there's an ESA, I assume they will try to do E3 something. Because, of course, E3 is a brand. It is a name. It is, you know, you talk to anybody who goes to the E3s from the public side or press side, they're always like, I've always dreamed of going. I have this past. This has always been my dream since I read about it on IGN or in Game Informer or whatever. That is still powerful. And I don't know at what point going to E3 is going to PAX. And I know people love PAX, but I've dreamed of going to PAX isn't something you hear. And I know people do. I'm not taking a shot at PAX, but PAX is the obtainable. Whereas E3 has always been, oh, you had to be a person in the industry to go to it. And I feel like right now, as it tries to figure out its persona and tries to figure out what it is, I don't feel like people are going to walk away from this E3 being like, that was the best weekend of my time. That was the best use of my time. I'm glad I spent that money. And I always feel that way, as we talked about on Games Daily today, of just like the people I talk to at a PAX who are waiting 2.5 hours in a line for a 10-minute demo. Like, okay, like, I enjoy yourself. So I could totally be wrong that people go there and they're just excited to be in the LA Convention Center and yada, yada, yada. I just feel as you lose the big three, you lose Steam. Jeff has already got his boot on your throat and is already the number one game in town. At what point do you look at the cost and the labor and the intense amount of work it is to get the LA Convention Center and go, this just isn't worth it?
Yeah. I have a follow-up question for that, Greg. But before I get to that, let me tell you about our sponsors. Shout out to Grammarly for sponsoring this episode. From essays to emails, Grammarly's communication assistants can help you write with confidence. Grammarly is a must-have for every student. Best of all, it's free to download and works on all your favorite devices and apps. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been using Grammarly for years, and Joey specifically is a huge fan. She says, and I quote, Grammarly is used with everything. Emails, tweets, even writing our weekly schedule. Sometimes my brain works faster than my fingers, and it's nice to have a second set of eyes. The free versions of Grammarly offers comprehensive writing suggestions, a tone detector, and a synonym feature, all to help you proofread your work as you write, so you can be sure it's mistake-free and polished before submitting. Grammarly Premium comes with advanced features like Clarity Full Sentence Rewrites, which flag and rephrase hard-to-read sentences. Premium even comes with plagiarism detection. From essays and projects to emails and presentations, improve your grades this semester with Grammarly. You can sign up for an account today at grammarly.com/kindoffunny and get 20% off when you're ready to upgrade to Grammarly Premium. That's grammarly.com/kindoffunny. grammarly.com/kindoffunny.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I really thought we already did that.
So a dream scenario here for me,
yeah,
would be Keely gets E3.
Dude, that you're talking about, like, they're like, it's like Shane McMahon gets WCW. Here comes the money. It's just music.
And it is the one thing. It's what you said. It is the E3 show. E3, the brand, everything you said is absolutely pinpoint accurate. There is an importance to E3 that I don't know that Summer Game Fest can ever get. Like, I just think that, like, that is a rebranding that we get it. But I think till the end of time, we are all going to be, and the people listening are always going to be like, yeah, the June time, the E3, like, it's like this weird thing where E3 means so much to us, and like, you can't get away from that.
Sure.
And I know there's the, you know, blood feud between them at this point, but like, I, you know, my ultimate pitch for what E3 should be going forward would be, it's one thing. It is a designed week of content. You don't get to just add things, and like, it's not showcases for freaking days. It's like, there is the one big one, there's a couple key ones that they do, and then there is an in-person side to it, but it's like focused. Where my biggest concern right now is like, how is E3 going to compete when it has to compete with Summer Game Fest? You talk about the exclusives and things like that. Like, there are going to be games, mid-tier or not, that won't be at E3 because they're at the Summer Game Fest thing.
Something I talked about today on Games Daily was, and it's a quick aside,
go for it,
was this thing of like, I don't know anything about Jeff's business or how that works. I would imagine he's saying, if you want to come here and be a part of this, you got to be exclusive to us. We don't want to be double dipping. We don't want you in the Summer Game Fest presentation and then you're also in the E3 presentation. I know that's wonky because I don't know exactly what E3 is going to be, but like,
sleeping around, you know,
he wants exclusive content to serve his audience because he's trying to put on a great show.
Yeah.
And so that is I think a concern, right? Of like, okay, cool, how does Bandai Namco play both sides? What do you, can you do one game at one thing and another, a different title at another, but they can't cross paths? Or is that, am I?
And who does that benefit, right? Yeah. Because think about it from the journalist perspective. That's just extra complications that people don't want. From the user's perspective, if you just want to go and play the game or even just watch the content to learn about the games, like, I feel like this is an example of, if it was just one to rule them all and like then everyone had to play by those rules, we'd just be in such a better place. And I think we, being every vertical you look at, whether it's the gamers, the workers, all of that stuff, what would your dream pitch be?
I don't know, because I think the thing with the Jeff versus E3 thing, and Jeff possibly taking over E3 and just making it his own thing, is for me, if I was Jeff and I've done Summer Game Fest for multiple years in a row at this point, and we've gotten the Elden Rings and we've gotten Neil Druckmann and we've put in all this work to build Summer Game Fest up to being what it is, it'd be really difficult for me to go, oh man, all right, you got the E3 brand, cool, now let's make it E3 again, right? Like, for me, I think I would have that level of, not even pettiness, I think just...
This is my baby.
Yeah, like, this is my baby. I've grown this baby, and right now, this baby is successful, right? It's so successful to the point where we are calling it bigger than E3 at this point. Why? I think E3 probably needs Jeff more than Jeff needs E3.
100%.
Especially after you're talking about the blood feud, right? Talking about the idea that Jeff did not believe in E3's vision by the time he left, right? I think at this point, it is Jeff just kind of waiting for the killing blow and waiting for him to be the, all right, cool, I am the new E3. I am the only game in town. I think what this ends up being, and this is kind of going back to the conversation that that we were just having, is E3 becoming PAX. And I think they might have to find success in that place. Like Greg mentions before that, you know, PAX is never a place where people are like, oh man, I've been waiting all my life to go to PAX. Like, I want to go to PAX. E3 is that. And I think it could possibly work to E3's benefit if it was, all right, we're going for this big consumer show. What if E3 is PAX Prime? What if E3 is the biggest PAX that there is, where it is, we are calling up all these third parties. We are calling up any developers. Maybe you are able to eventually get games in there from like Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, right? Maybe getting one or two depending on the year, and having people being able to line up and play those games, having it be this packed environment. I'm sure that takes a minute to build up, but this year is the first year you're working, I believe it's the first year they're working with Repop, right? To build this. Repop knows how to make packs, and they have years and years and years under the belt turning packs into what it is. And PAX is a really fun show, right? Like, I think for me,
Why is PAX fun?
Yeah. Well, for me, as somebody who, you know, came up listening to podcasts, watching or reading IGN, watching IGN, doing all that stuff, for me, it was, I think, what a lot of people think E3 is when they watch E3 and see the presentations and all that stuff, where it is, you go to this big convention center. For me, it was always PAX West, which used to be PAX Prime. You go to a convention center, you have all these different demo kiosks available for you to play, all these cool looking different indie games. You are going to the indie mega booth, right? Which is, oh man, like Boyfriend Dungeon, what is that? Let me check it out. Or like
cool panels.
Yeah, cool panels that are featuring people like Kinda Funny, Giant Bomb, GameSpot, all these different creators developers that you probably follow and love, right? Developers, yeah. You have an industry that you've been able to look at from the outside looking in, out of nowhere, all the way accessible to you, right? And you're able to experience that. For me, that made PAX special, right? It was like, I think it was the first time, yeah, it was one of the first times where I saw Kinda Funny Live, where I was like, oh snap, that's Tim Gettys, that's Greg Miller, right? Oh snap, that's IGN, that's Podcast Beyond, whatever it is. And I think a lot of people find that special. And I think you can turn E3 into that, because E3 does have that name recognition. And if you're able to go, hey, anybody, buy tickets here, and we are going to have X, Y, and Z creator, we're going to have X, Y, and Z company come out, fly out, experience this for what PAX has been, I think you could have something there. And I think that's how you start to carve out your own identity as E3, as an E3 that is kind of losing its own identity at this point.
And in my opinion, there's no possible way they have enough time and runway to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you hit the nail on the head that PAX is about the indie mega booth, and it is about these cool games you've never heard of, and it is about these cool panels, right? E3 is not those things. E3 is about the huge announcements, the pomp and circumstance, the photo op, the big announcements and these games you've never heard of, right? I think the majority of people going to an E3 expect to play the latest and greatest from Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, Call of Duty, you name it, and have those kind of things. And I think that we look at even our own traffic, let alone IGN, or talk to anybody else about covering indie games, like there's no money in that. There's no views in that. And that PAX is a very special show because it is legitimately, if you're going to do the Venn diagram of people who listen to video game podcasts and people who want to, it's a circle. The people who want to go to PAX, it's a circle. They're the same audience. That's why it is so successful. And it is, I would say, even when you go to PAX, I don't know if it's 50-50, but I'll be as I don't know. I think there's people that are equally there to play the games and but are equally there to see the panels and see IGN, Kind of Funny, whoever it is, the podcast, right?
And I think, I mean, I think a large part of it too is seeing your friends.
I think it's a gathering. It's community.
And I don't think that's what E3 is. And I think if you're going to try to talk about changing the narrative for E3 to be that, I just think you lose it because this year wouldn't be that. This year would be people showing up and being like, oh, well, I came to see, I was hoping to play fucking whatever.
Spider-Man 2.
Last of Us Faction, Spider-Man 2, and that's not here. And so I'm just playing, and there's this weird Japanese game and yada, yada, yada. It's like the Looky Luke. It's going from something that was already Comic-Con and bringing it down where it's and changing its character. And I think, what does it become? How does it do if we're not talking about if it is Summer Game Fest? And then way back to your point, I think that's the whole thing of why Jeff would, I don't think Jeff wants E3, and I don't think he'd ever want to take E3. Cause again, then you take on all the baggage of the E3s that have come before when you've set your own cadence with Summer Game Fest and set your own rules and done all these things.
And you've tied so much of the name Summer Games Fest to the popularity and success of Game Awards and the fact that like the Game Awards is becoming such a ubiquitous thing in the industry and among like just households of gamers that don't listen to gaming podcasts all the time. Like the audience is continuously growing and growing year after year. And the idea that the Game Awards Twitter account is the central home for Summer Games Fest Twitter stuff as well. I know they have their Twitter account as well, but like you kind of see them as like, that's the Keighley spot. That's sure. Keighley's thing, you know? I don't think he would ever take E3. I think, much like I was telling Bless a little while ago, that's his baby. I think he wants it to keep on growing, you know?
I think if he had if he could own E3 and it was his, he's renaming his baby. E3 is such a strong brand. And Summer Game Fest, it just never will
be. If we got to the point where we could buy IGN, would you want to then dissolve Kind of Funny and just be IGN?
No, because we're cooler.
I guarantee he thinks the same thing about
it. A lot cooler shirt opportunities. I'll go with IG.
But it's the idea of even you talking about the PAX, of what makes a PAX a PAX, and you even saying like what really made it special for you. So much of that is the panels and the people and stuff. I don't think we're getting that at this
E3. 100%.
I don't think we're getting that at this E3.
And that's the problem. If we don't get it, so what are we getting at this E3? It's just
disappointment. It's like, so next year you're going to try to pivot and be like, all right, we're getting panels and we're doing, and it's like, well, who does anybody care? Like, I wouldn't expect us to go to E3 right now and have a panel and have it be like, our PAX panels, which are fucking awesome in a giant community party, right? I'd expect the room to be half full and like people are wandering the floor trying to get their swag bags filled up and not, you know, do that.
So in the IGN article where they reported about Xbox, Nintendo, and Sony skipping E3, the ESA did give a statement, Repop gave a statement to IGN, which makes me curious, which I'm going to use that and usher it into a question, right? So the statement reads like this. E3 is such a significant event for the game industry, and being entrusted with an important cultural touchstone is not a responsibility Readpop takes lightly. Since Readpop took on the contract to run E3 6 months ago, we've worked diligently with ESA members based on their feedback to create a new type of E3 that supports their goals and needs. This process has taken time due to the tremendous amount of stakeholders offering input, though we appreciate that we could have been more transparent to questions for which we were still finalizing the answers. We can continue to work tirelessly to create a show that brings together the global gaming industry. We believe we've created a new format for the event that serves the needs of both the industry and its fans, and are committed to building and growing it in the coming years. As he spent much of 2022 refining how E3 2023 would take shape, reflecting on the feedback we solicited, we did not send a single contract to an exhibitor until the start of the month. We have received a tremendous amount of interest and verbal commitments from many of the biggest companies in the industry. And when we are ready to announce the exhibitors, we are confident it will be a lineup that will make the trip to Los Angeles well worth it for the industry and consumers alike. My question goes to the part where they say, we have received a tremendous amount of interest and verbal commitments from many of the biggest companies in the industry. With confirmation, or at least
Tencent and
for us, right? We're like, oh yeah, Tencent, Embracer, like the companies that, no offense to Tencent and Embracer, we might not care about in terms of the context of E3.
Sure.
But where do the Ubisofts and EAs and Square Enix's fall in?
Capcom. Capcom might be like an example of the big guys that they could have. They're tied up with Summer Games.
That's my thing, where Street Fighter was there. Street Fighter was one of the biggest things at Summer Games last year, and I think that worked out very well for them. And again, we're hypothesizing on what Jeff or the ESA would, or Readpop would have in terms of restrictions or whatever. My bet would be Jeff has a lot of different requirements and rules in the ESA / Repop are just like, please fucking come, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you want to go be on SGF too? Don't worry about it. Blah, blah, blah.
My thing is Ubisoft, I think, is a very interesting one because they've not been, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they've been connected to Summer Game Fest this whole time. I remember being surprised that first year, or it was 2020, where it was, oh yeah, everybody's part of Summer Game Fest. Well, Ubisoft's missing from the calendar that Jeff Keighley would put out, and I think they've been consistent with that. I would think that
they don't know what they're putting out either.
That's true. Ubisoft doesn't know what Ubisoft's doing. But I could see,
dude, that's, maybe this that's is the opportunity for them actually, to come back. That's offensive. They know they're putting out Skull and Bones one day. They've been clear for like 8 years. They're putting out Skull and Bones.
They got Beyond Division, Good and Evil 2. Okay?
They got Division Heartland that's coming. Right?
Division Heartland is coming. Division Heartland's coming. So is the mobile Division game.
Don't forget about Project
Offensive.
I thought
that was fucking offensive.
I thought Heartland came out.
No, it did not come out.
But yeah, you have Ubisoft, EA, I forget if they've been connected to Summer Game Fest.
No, remember they did EA Play. Thing. Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Yeah. My apologies.
Do we get an EA Play?
Probably, right?
Is it connected to E3?
No.
Interesting.
I think, again, like, jigs up on that. Like, they've done well on doing their own thing. And last year, they didn't do one right. That's when they put out, well, Austin Creed killed it, and they put out a statement that was just like, listen, y'all, when we're ready to talk, we'll talk about what it is.
What would they talk about at this point? Something, you know, because we have
I jumped on that one early. I forgot about April now for Jedi Fallen or Jedi.
I mean, yeah, like it's really just Jedi. We think about the KOTOR remake that was.
I mean, eventually
put on hold. You know,
college football's back, boy, baby.
That's the one.
Gamers, we know what you like. Sports games.
Updates on Skate 4, maybe.
Yeah.
We know you like sports games and collegiate sports games.
Listen, we killed...
Bound to be successful worldwide American college sports.
Anthony in the chat also shouts out Dragon Age. Like, it's been a minute since we've gotten...
Great point.
And then the next Mass Effect.
Yeah.
What?
So, like, I guess I say all that to say is there a way to make E3 exciting without the big three?
Without the big three, yes.
How so?
I mean, you get everybody else, and doesn't sound like they have that, but that's how you would do it. I think E3 has survived, has done great before when some of the big guys weren't there. I mean, I feel like there was always at least one of them, right? Nintendo always showed up.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah. Right? Like, and they always had like a dope booth that was like really showing off like their entire lineup. Like they did
before COVID, Xbox wasn't a part of it. It was just Nintendo.
Yeah, like they were the first to drop out, and then PlayStation eventually as well. But like there was the gravitas of the Nintendo booth and the PlayStation booth where it's like they made it feel like there was a presence to the entire point of E3, right?
Yeah. Nintendo dropped out before PlayStation did of E3?
No.
Okay, my apologies.
No, Nintendo was the last one to stay.
Got you. Thank you.
Yeah. So Nintendo they actually brought the fire at E3. Like I would say that consistently they were the ones that would bring their AAA lineup.
Udonk City?
That stuff's great. Oh, but so but to play. Like you were talking about, E3 is not the place where they announce a game you get to play it. For Nintendo,
Nintendo was. That's fair.
Whereas PlayStation, it would be like, I would say we could count on, we'll be able to play a bunch of the third-party games, maybe one of the smaller first-party titles. We're going to get behind closed doors, extended demos.
There'll be a
demos.
Big new 3DS game.
Like you can play Wild for a while.
Yeah, of the big Sony titles. But and then Xbox would be just kind of all over the place. But that's just because Xbox, they just function differently. But I think that even you take all of those out. So this would be the first E3 without Nintendo. It's an interesting point that I didn't think about. I do think that like Ubisoft always had a big presence, and they had a ton of games to play and things to show off. EA as well. Like if they did all that, it'd be great. But EA's gone. I don't expect Ubi to be there. So I think this E3 is going to be a very, very, very sad state of affairs, and I do think that the biggest thing is going to be like a Tencent.
Oh, that's so sad. That breaks my heart.
And no panels and no community stuff.
That's why I think they don't get back to it.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I think that it would be so disappointing both from, well, I guess, triple from our perspective as press, audience perspective as people, and then ESA as the people trying to pull this off. I'm just like, well, if this is the best we can do, why do this again?
So jumping over then, Summer Game Fest. What do we expect this year? Do we think that it's going to be a
Jeff's going to make us all bend the knee and swear our allegiance to him?
You choose us?
And I'll fucking do it, Jeff. What do I expect from Summer Game Fest? I think it's going to be a really strong Summer Game Fest. I think Jeff's going to take all the feedback from last year. And I mean the presentation, because we were hard on it last year because we weren't happy with it. I think he's going to have a tighter show. I think he's going to have bigger announcements. I think again, based on what's happened with E3 throughout the multiple years here, but where we're at, I think companies are going to be ready to talk about their bigger games. I think they understand the power of Jeff. I think they understand what Summer Game Fest is now. I think they're probably excited that he's having a private, he has his own conference, like we're talking about, his own showcase. And I think then you see, you know, a good press event again for us to go play whatever everybody's ready to have us play.
I could see EA giving him their big guns. And say, you know, fuck EA Play. That's obviously a lot of resources and time and stuff to put together a show that we may only have two or three games to show for. I could see them having their big stuff on Jeff's showcase, Dragon Age 4, whatever next look at Mass Effect would be. Maybe we don't see Mass Effect until N7 Days.
Skate 4, perhaps.
Yeah, true.
You know, I'm with you on that. I think that that definitely is the most likely scenario in my mind. Like earlier, I was talking about PlayStation's last in-person press conferences and the differences between when they have hella games to announce versus we're just kind of checking in on games. And we've seen EA Play iterate on that as well. Even the various ones you've hosted, some of them are a bit more, we're going to deep dive into these four titles. And other ones were, like the one Austin hosted, was way more traditional showcasey of like announcements. Things are actually like happening, like new things are being talked about. Dead Space Remake was announced there. I don't think that EA is in a place right now where they have that many games to talk about. So I think,
I mean, Iron Man.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's like they have games, but like I think that's Summer Game Fest, right? Mm. Instead of having to make a whole event and pad it out and like show off like four or five titles, six, eight titles, whatever it is, they can cherry pick their big ones and just focus and just be like you are our champion, Iron Man.
Do you think we get that Black Panther game this year?
Get it? No.
Or not at release, get it announced. See it, yeah. The open world Black Panther game that they're working on?
I don't think so. I think you got a clear Black Panther Captain America game first. Marvel. I know they're not the same publisher, but Marvel Games obviously is in behind both of them, and I just don't think they want those stepping on each other, right?
That makes sense.
And we're not getting that for a while, I expect.
Well, I don't think we're getting Black Panther anytime soon either.
I still think
it could easily be the flop if it's the other way.
I still can't believe we saw like any sort of glimpse of it, and even though it was just like an announcement, I'm still shocked that we at least saw, like, hey, this thing exists. I'm like very surprised by that.
Yeah. Where'd we see it?
I don't remember.
At a D23 hosted by which game Bless we're talking
about? We're talking about the Black Panther Cat Marvel.
Right. I just love the amount of things we're talking about that we've hosted.
Oh, yeah. We're the best.
God. I said we're the best.
Oh, we're the best.
Well, you made eye contact.
We're not talking about fucking Final Tim. Fantasy.
When we return, hit the button.
What day does it come out? Nobody knows. He's still fucking lie.
Tim, New York Times, you were in there.
Thank you.
I was on Times Square.
Times Square,
so,
yeah. New York. Yeah, it's a whole
state
thing.
Of mind, right?
Exactly. Damn.
Crazy.
New York State of mind, baby. What's up? But yeah, Summer Game Fest. I have really high hopes this year, like for everything that y'all were just saying. But like, I think that without fault, every single Keighley event has gotten better than the previous ones in terms of production, in terms of tightness, in terms of dealing with the criticism. I don't think that it's always gotten better in terms of the announcements, but that's not on him. Clearly,
no.
He wants to get the biggest announcements possible. And I think that the longer we go on, the more shows he does, the more the industry sees, oh, he got the stuff. Like,
he's the game in town. Stuff. Just let him do it, yeah.
Exactly. So I think that we're really set up for that. And then I do think that a very important aspect to the Summer Game Fest side of things is what used to be Judges Week, now being what we did last year, being able to go very tight-knit community-focused, but a community of games media, which I think is a very important element to E3 that sounds like E3 is not going to have. You know what I mean? Like,
well, didn't they mention their thing? They wanted media days.
I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm sure, but I don't think that it's going to be the same. Like, I feel like like Summer Games Fest last year, it felt like a who's who of the industry.
Sure, and Harris.
And it felt like exactly. And it felt like there was like a very if that event didn't even have games to preview, but it was just for everybody to catch up and talk. I think that there's such value there. And I think that they're going to triple down on that.
I think the thing that's interesting regarding press being down there is press going to be in LA for a full week? Is that the plan?
3 years now.
You're talking about Summer Game Fest happening on Thursday, I believe June 8th. Yeah, Thursday, June 8th. And then E3 happening the following Tuesday through Friday, June 13th through June 16th. Are people going to go to both, realistically?
Yes.
oh man, I'm tired.
Like, I am tired.
I know it sounds outrageous, but remember E3 before it died had moved to Saturday being EA Play, so people were flying in on Friday already, if not earlier, for stuff like that. So if it's Thursday for Summer Game Fest, and is that, I haven't seen this.
No, Thursday is the Summer Game Fest live event. I forget when the in-person thing was. Was that Friday?
Yeah. So then you imagine if they follow the same schedule, then fuck yeah. It'd be the same thing as last time, right? Yeah. Where we would react here, then probably climb on a plane, then go to work on Friday, go work on Saturday, or just drink our faces off.
Yeah, and Saturday, Sunday, and then the rest of the days.
Sunday, yeah, you figure Sunday would be if Microsoft's Xbox doing Bethesda, something, but they're doing their own thing. It could be Xbox Bethesda.
E3 is Tuesday through Friday?
Yes. What E3 always is.
It's what, and so we're, it is a week that we're spending
Tuesday
in LA.
Through Thursday?
Yeah, that actually is right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, Friday didn't happen. It was only 3 days.
Okay.
Because
the show floor was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
No.
Tuesday, Thursday.
It was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm pretty sure. So yeah, damn, they're making it even longer. Oh my god, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
We need to build an LA studio, an LA spare bedroom, because we're gonna be down there a lot that week.
Yeah, that week. Yeah.
Just that week.
Yeah, that. I mean,
but like, I mean,
buy Easy Allies and we'll use their studio.
All right, cool. Then,
is there a chance that it is
$100?
By the time we get there, E3 just doesn't have enough of the stuff to motivate press to stay.
Like, right?
There's a huge reality.
Yeah, that, like, press comes in. The games industry, I think, mentioned article or whatever it was, blog post. Mm-hmm. I thought mentioned media only day or something. But anyways. Maybe I'm wrong. I would imagine, yeah, a lot of people do just the media only day and bounce.
Well, I mean, dude, even think about last year. For as amazing as that Summer Game Fest event was, and I legit think that that thing was amazing. I've done so many different types of these game events over the years, and I thought the way that it was designed, the quality of games they had, knowing what they had to work with, I was so impressed with that. And even then, we did everything we needed to in a handful of hours. Yep. You know, and it's like we went back the next day because we wanted to play more Sonic Frontiers and Street Fighter 6. You know, it's
we had
like
appointments.
I played so much Street Fighter 6.
Yeah,
but we could have done it all.
We really easily.
There was a lot of it too that was like you pointed out earlier. It was just nice to be. It was like the first big event again.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, it was a blast to be there.
Yeah, you know, we brought the cream of the crop from Kind of Funny.
Had a great time.
But I do think that if that was Summer Game Fest and that was already coverage wise, media wise, like there wasn't that much. I expect that there'll be more this year. At splitting it with E3 as well, is it going to be that many days worth of content? The answer is no. Like, it's just straight up. But one media day?
Yeah.
Sure. Probably.
I'll wait 3 days to play Everspace 2 at E3. You know? They got the goods over there at ESA. They're going to have the goods. Don't worry.
Everspace? I don't even know what that is.
I forget the name of the trailer that showed up like 3 times. It was that Embracer's thing. God. And then Gearbox's thing. Yeah. I want to say it was called Everspace, but I feel like
it was
something like that.
It was some sort of space game. It was great.
I think it was Everspace 2.
Oh, really?
Because it was a game that I think it was a remake. I don't know.
I blinked it out of my mind, but it's very troubling.
That's also another thing to keep in mind is like if Embracer says they're doing a presentation, we got to vet it first before we watch that thing. Because last time it was straight up like, I think Tim left. Or no, Tim bailed.
Tim knew what he was
and
doing.
And we were like, oh, Tim knew what he
was doing. Tim knew what he was doing, Robin. He knew what he was doing.
We got to vet these Embracer showcases before you actually watch them.
And hey, real talk, I do think that, you know, we've talked a lot about E3. We talked about Summer Game Fest and even the solo people doing their thing. But like, I think a big conversation is the, when is it too much? And we've answered that a couple years ago. Like, we know the answer. It is, we're already there. And it is too much. We need to peel back. We need to not go as hard as we've been doing. Do you think this is the year that we get less showcases during that week and it's going to be a little bit more focused? Or do you think that we're going to keep going down the path we've been going down, which is more, 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 more?
I think we have one more year of not learning. Or one more year of learning after mistakes, and then next year will be the prime example of, like, this is what it needs to be. It is concise, and not every publisher wants to have their own thing. It's okay to give your shit to Keeley and have him show it off. You don't need an hour and a half or an hour presentation for your 4 games with 32-minute developer interviews like we had during that one Embracer Group one, which is, like, really tough to watch.
I don't think we're ever going to rein it in. You know what I mean? I think that people and executives, and I don't even mean like suits. I just mean people who see the people doing their own conference.
Be a rant on capitalism?
They don't understand the working man. No, I think it's just that they'll always want that prestige, and they'll think that they're the exception to the rule, and they'll not. You know, we know firsthand how hard it is to plan and put together a showcase, and I don't think people get that until they're really in it, and then they don't have editors. They don't know what they're doing in terms of how to let people talk and stuff like that. So I think there's all in the new world, there's always going to be too much. I think there's always going to be that independent streak of wanting to go do it on your own. I think you're going to see other people like us rise up and do more showcases, which inevitably becomes noise to somebody, if not, you know, most people. And I think they're always going to be too long, and there's all these things happening.
Working class Americans.
Malia.
There it is.
God damn it. That's all you have is Obama saying that and Michael Cera saying
let's give me your best Michael Cera doing Obama.
Mitch McConnell doesn't want that.
Hey, Michelle.
God damn. What do you think, Blas?
Homeworld 3 is the game.
Homeworld 3.
The epic saga continues. That's what I was thinking of. I think the further we get, the more we see publishers and these folks who put on these showcases understand that it's okay and actually good to have space themselves, right? And so for me, it's a question of, do we see the EA Plays and Ubisoft's here, or peek into June again, or do they continue to try and keep their own space? And I think they might try to keep their own space unless like E3 goes after them hard or for some reason. But yeah, with that, right, I don't think we'll see a Ubisoft forward in June. I don't think we'll see an EA Play in June. I think June, if I had to visualize it now, right, May, I could see a State of Play. June, I could see that Summer Game Fest live event that Jeff Keighley would do that next Sunday, Xbox Bethesda. And then maybe like the smaller things here or there, right? And then I forget if I mentioned a Nintendo Direct, but I think also we could see a small Nintendo Direct partner showcase mini type thing. I think those are what we'll get. And I think it'll be fine. Like I think we'll get through it. I think it might feel a little bit condensed, but you know, I think that's what we're working with now. I think that's the reality of things.
Yeah, I'm torn. I don't know. Cause I think that the fact that E3 is like being as stubborn as they are, that they want to live and not die, which I understand as well. Like, I, you know, it's like
survival instincts.
Like, I totally get it. I get why they're doing it. But I do think that them doing it is going to create more showcases. Like, I think that E3 existing is going to extend the time period that we're talking about, that we're covering things, and it's going to incentivize some people that may not have done a showcase if they instead would have just been, here's my two games, Jeff's going to have them. But now it's like, well, if E3 is here, we need games on the show floor. We should show off those games that people are going to be playing, even though we've seen them a bunch of times. And then that's how you get a showcase. And then multiply that by like five, and all of a sudden we get Homeworld 3 shown five more times in things.
Here's what we do. In order to make a more efficient Kind of Funny for the future, we make a time machine for me.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
I go into the future.
Wow.
I get to see which presentations have the most crossover and overlap. Like, hey, this one has six other games that are being shown on the other shits. We can cross that one off the list, right?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And that's how we vet it out. So, patreon.com, everybody.
You know what? I take back every bad thing I said about Homeworld 3.
You can watch this trailer a couple more times, right?
I'm looking at the Gamescom Opening Night Live trailer for Homeworld 3 on Gearbox's YouTube channel. It has over 1 million views. And so there's an audience here.
There is an audience.
Yeah,
no, 100%.
I did not know
we
that.
We saw it in our chat. They're like,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I hope I didn't make them mad. I didn't realize that we're out there.
But
yeah, there's an audience.
I think that this year is going to go poorly enough for E3 with all of that, that next year I do think it's going to be more consolidated. And I think that it will be more Summer Game Fest led and focused. And what we get from that will stay there. And I think the things surrounding it won't actually surround it. I think, like Ubisoft and all them, it will be August or July. It won't be what we think of as that June timeline. Mm. But I also just hope that that's the case. Who the hell knows? Let us know what you think.
Cool games.
Yeah,
I hope we get some cool games, man. Give me a Nintendo Direct. Give me a PlayStation showcase.
Show me Iron Man. Oh, Jeff Keighley's for sure going to have Armored Core, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's going to be a banger.
He's also going to have Last of Us Factions.
God, I would hope so. I hope so. I think that's going to be a PlayStation thing.
Yeah.
Live at the Shrine.
Give me the showcase.
Let us know in the comments below if you expect PlayStation to be live in person or not. What you expect to see from E3 this year, from Summer Game Fest, all that good stuff. Andy Cortez, what's up?
And in the comments, let us know what's the next big dead Konami IP to come back from the dead and be at a showcase? Let us know.
Bomberman.
Fuck. That was my guess.
I love you all. We're going to go. Bye.